If the albino hunter had wondered where Marcos had disappeared to, for he had parted company with them before they reached the homestead, he would have been interested to know that the Sekhboss was walking across the awakening ville to the home of Sunita, with the intention of finding out more about the woman he had discovered the night before. Mildred was still asleep when he knocked softly on the door to Sunita's homestead. The Baron's daughter was awakened by the insistent sound and rose to answer the call.
Marcos, what are you doing so early?
I have come to see the newcomer. It is important that we learn more about her. Chan has spoken to the albino who was with them and has taken him away. The Whitelanders freed him when they realized they really had no choice.
Sunita frowned, then looked back at the sleeping Mildred.
Freed? I would not...
Would not what?
I would not talk to Mildred now. She has only just fallen asleep, and she will need rest.
Marcos bit hard on his lip. There was something strange about the outsiders, and it would be best to learn the truth as soon as possible. However, it would not be appropriate to contradict the leader's daughter. He contented himself for now with a brief nod.
Very well. I shall return later.
Sunita watched him walk away, then closed the door behind her and walked over to the sleeping Mildred.
What games are being played here?
The companion spent the next couple of days under armed guard, locked up in the jail. Only the sound of everyday life outside the barred window and the meager illumination it offered marking passage of time. They were fed once every day at around sundown. A tray of food, enough for all, was brought in by a woman, while a sec guard stood by with an H&K at the ready for any trouble. There was no indication that the prisoners wished to offer any resistance, mostly because of the five that were left in the jail, only two were fit enough to consider any kind of breakout. Doc was weary and battered by his experiences at sea, and although he had incurred no serious damage, his bruised body and even more bruised mind required time to recuperate. JB's leg was improving, and he exercised it as much as possible within the confines of the cell, making sure that the damaged muscle in his calf didn't stiffen up. As for Ryan, he still ached all over, but it no longer hurt him to breathe, and the pain was lessening with each day. His ribs could do with a longer resting period if they were to heal properly, but as long as he was able to function, Ryan figured that they may not have the time for him to make a full recovery. Each hour, each minute, he hoped to hear news of Mildred, or for Jack to return to facilitate an escape. But with each hour that Jack did not, he would be better equipped for when the time came. For Christy and Dean, it was frustrating, and the young Cotter dreamed of his mother once more. This time, he was better able to remember the dream when he awakened, and it disturbed him. Where the Matran's dream had been a fantasy of his parting from his mother, this was more the reality of the situation. They were living in a hovel, on the run from who knew what. His mother had been earning what little money they possessed as a gaudy, but her sickness was making it more and more difficult for her to attract clients. She had taught Dean the arts of stealing from trash and from merchants, wherever possible, to obtain enough food to keep them alive. They were living in one room, still on the run from ville to ville, and as he watched, a racking cough seized his mother.
Got to send you away soon. I'm on my way to buying the farm, and I want to make sure you're okay.
I'm not going anywhere. Who's going to go and get food when you need it if you're too sick?
You're strong, my sweet Dean. But I've made plans to make sure you get away. To make sure you're safe. I'll go happy if I know that.
I don't want you to go!
Maybe we'll be together again someday. Who knows? I love you, Dean. Always remember that.
Dean, are you all right?
I'm fine, Mom.
Mom?
Stuck in jail, there was nothing for Dean to do but brood on the dreams and wonder why he was missing his mother so much.
He goes through the trees. Swift as he is, the need to thread through them will slow him. Jack, you and Moses take the left-hand path. Kanu and I will take the right.
Without pausing to answer, Jack and the thick-set man known as Moses set off to the left, skirting around the edge of the dense clump of trees in which the boar had sought to hide itself. The heavy beast could be heard, squealing in fear as it flung itself through the trees, crashing into the trunks, stumbling on the roots. It couldn't realize that his pursuers could predict its path and would take an easier route to cut it off as it emerged. Jack easily outdistanced the lumbering Moses, the youth's legs pumping as he covered the ground with ease. The scent of the boar's fear was in his nostrils, and the thrill of the hunt was in his eyes. While he was about this task, Jack forgot all about his companions in jail. When the beast was chilled, his thoughts would return to them. The albino hunter pulled up as he reached where the cluster of trees began to thin, gesturing behind him for Moses to slow.
It's still in there, Jack. You're lighter, more nimble. You go up into the treetops and get ready to drop. I'll take the animal from the side.
Okay, careful. Boar triple scared and triple pissed off.
Don't worry. I've been doing this far too long to take unnecessary chances. I'd rather thrust my hand into a pit of snakes than take an angry boar head on.
Jack flashed a grim smile and climbed to the top of the tree. Trying to hunt wild boar this way was probably more dangerous than a pit of snakes. Jack couldn't believe that a 4-man hunting team was assigned to bring down the one creature. Left to his own devices, he could have stalked his prey and waited until it was at its weakest before striking. A boar was too strong and unpredictable to be taken in full flight. Kanu and Jules, the hunt leader, had arrived at the opposite side of the outcrop. Shaped like an oval, the outcrop came to a point where they had met. Each had skirted the outside. Kanu hunkered at the base of a tree, covered like Moses, while Jules scaled a neighboring tree so that he overhung the narrow path between tree roots that the creature was sure to take. As he edged along the branch, he was within touching distance of Jack, and the albino studied the man who led all the hunting expeditions. He was tall and rangy, with a heavily etched face. Streaks of gray ran through his close-cropped head. His hairline was bisected by the weal of an old and badly healed scar, which ran back across his skull to a point beyond the crown. His eyes were watery and bloodshot, and there was tension written in them as they met Jack's.
Here comes! Looking crazy!
Ready, son?
Jack nodded. Both men were armed with short hunting spears. The light shafts were made of whittled balsa, only just heavy enough to carry the finely honed and razor-sharp heads. Double-edged, the spearheads were barbed so that they would go in easily, but resist any attempts by their prey to shake them loose and would actually cause more damage. It was only a fraction of a second the beast moved beneath them. For the briefest moment, its back would be directly exposed.
Now!
As one, they plunged their spears downward. The balsa shafts were light, but the spearheads were heavy pig-iron metal. One spear struck the boar where skull joined spine, the needle-sharp head slicing through the thick layers of muscle that rippled on the creature's massive neck and shoulders. Simultaneously, the second spear arrived at an angle, cutting into the animal's flanks, a throw designed to slice through the layers of flesh, fat, and muscle. The boar simultaneously reared and twisted, the twin points of agony searing into its brain, confusion adding to the pain as it tried to work out where its enemy was and how best it could defend itself. It almost doubled over, flipping around to face the direction it had run. While it was facing away from Kanu and Moses, the two hunters made their move. Darting from their hiding places, the men moved in on the creature, pulling back their arms to strike. The beast was frenzied, thrashed wildly, and shrieked in pain. Moses wasted no time in hurling his spear. It shot straight and true. The result was almost instantaneous. The creature flipped over once more. Its legs waved wildly as it rolled, leaving the soft white underbelly open and undefended. Kanu's spear flew straight and true, taking the creature in the gut. It thrashed feebly a few times and was then still.
Big bastard. Should feed a lot of people, and the hide'll come in useful.
I'm thinking that perhaps this is the shadow that comes in the night, spiriting away other creatures to join him.
Oh, you think this is the one that has been terrorizing our livestock for the past fortnight, Moses?
Boar not usually meat-eater.
Maybe not, but it could be a mutiny of some sort. The long-ago wars have a long, dark reach that stretches through the generations.
Whatever it is, Moses, it'll keep Marcos happy, and he is like the gathering storm when he is not.
A happy Marcos is never a bad thing, Kanu. Let's get this back to the village.
The 4-man team cut 2 strong branches from the surrounding trees, and using the vines that curled around them, made ropes to secure the front and back legs of the beast. Running a branch between both sets of legs, they each took one branch end and hefted the creature. The branches creaked, and they could feel the vine ropes give under the weight of the muscle-bound boar. To have tried one long branch running the length of the body with all four legs secured would undoubtedly have snapped a branch. The hunter shouldered the weight and began to move. The boar was a good catch, and carrying it would make the journey back to the ville seem much longer than it was. Jack considered that, as everything on the island was so close to the ville, it would be hard for the companions to escape without being hunted down like the boar he was now helping to carry. He wondered if Mildred had any ideas. He had seen her briefly, but she was showing little inclination to do anything. Jack was curious as to why.